Andy, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Craig?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We finally got summer here. It's like 90 degrees finally after being like cold and raining for the last 2 weeks. So it's like But no air conditioning. And I'm like, oh man, I kind of like that cold and raining again.
For where you are, what is the season like in the summer? Is it just sporadic? I almost pictured it similar to Maine, where you get some stretches of nice weather, and then you can have a week or two of just rain and like 70s, sometimes again in the 60s, but then you'll have 80s, 90s here and there as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's pretty sporadic. A lot of just all day, all sunshine in the summer, which is cool. But then like, if you're just working, then it's like, oh my God, it's hot in here. And I gotta get out of the heat somehow. But we always say like the seasons here are like a month longer than you want them to be, every one of them. And so like, we're all glad to be in the middle of summer right now, but then like the end of August will come. We're like, all right, let's be done with this. And it's going to be hanging over till the 1st of October probably, but that's cool. I mean, I think we'll talk about seasons from a business perspective today too, but yeah, I mean, it's just nice to, you know, it's summertime, kids are out of school, they're in camps, but kind of going and taking them to camps and hanging out with them a lot. So definitely working less hours than I was before and trying to be really intentional about it. Do you use like a to-do list or an app to stay organized or anything?
I use Trello to track everything, but I don't know what it is. I think since getting back to Maine, it's been hard for me to get into a good routine. Like I have all my to-dos as cards in there and have different projects and whatever, just all in Trello. And yeah, I just frankly feel like since I've been back, or at least the last like 6 months, just don't open it that much. And so just random shit just doesn't get done. But that's where I try to keep things somewhat organized at least. What do you do?
I mean, I go in fits and spurts. Like I'm not like totally dedicated to one thing, but when I do it well, the thing that works for me is I use an app called Things for it's on iOS. And I just like, if I get the habit right, when I'm drinking my coffee in the morning, I just sit there and think about like, okay, if I got two or three things done today, what would they be that would make like the day awesome? And so I just kind of sit there and think, and I list those things out and they're in the app. And then when I'm sitting down in front of my computer later, then I open that, I say, can I do any of these things right now? You know, like from a mental energy and time perspective. And it's great because like the alternative for me is just like looking at Zendesk and looking at Gmail and looking at Slack and all of that stuff. And so like, if I can just especially like sit down in front of the computer, and unless like the app is down and we're having a major outage, like it can wait, you know, all of that shit can wait 30 or 60 minutes for me to get one of those things done. And so patting myself on the back a little bit, I've been doing a better job of that in the last like 10 days to say like, okay, I'm just going to like spend 2 minutes in the morning getting a couple of things. And they don't have to be the best things. They just have to be something that like I'm intentionally planning out. And then like when I'm sitting at the computer, I do those. And like, it's just little micro steps towards being more efficient. So yeah, that's kind of my win, I guess, in the last couple of weeks.
Nice. And yeah, actually yesterday I felt like I had it set aside to be a very productive day, and it wasn't as much as I wanted it to be. But one thing I did, at least I guess, make some progress on was this. For me, it's always a work in progress. Just how do I structure my days? And now that the team's gotten bigger, how do we do our standups with them and make sure it's not too interfering with Matt and I and everyone else on the team? And so I feel like we got to a pretty good iteration of that, where really all it was we just kept shifting the daily standups later in the day. Because Matt and I are both similar, where the mornings are our most productive times. And it's where, yeah, we're not getting pinged as much in Slack. Like there isn't as much competing for our attention. And I don't know, I just really lose energy in the end of the day. And the meetings were starting to cut into that more. Matt felt it more than I do just because he's on Pacific time. But yeah, so we've blocked off more time, shifted things around. So now I'm really looking forward to a bigger block of time in the morning to make deliberate progress on whatever those most important things are. But yeah, on the low energy days, I just find like, yes, this is what I should be working on. This is the most important thing. But whenever I run into any roadblock, where it's just, I don't immediately know what to do next. I have to think more about this than I want to. If it's a low energy day, a day where I'm just like struggling, then I'll immediately just jump into Slack, there's always something I can work on there. There's always, I can check emails, I can do this and that. And it's just easy for me to get in that routine. And then if I do that for too long, then the day is just gone because it won't end. So to me, it's just being more deliberate in the mornings, figuring out what do I need to tackle. And more importantly than that is also just blocking out the time. So it's like, all right, I can just close Slack during these times. And I mean, if something really breaks, they're not going to be calling me. Like, there's not a whole lot I can do to fix it. They'll probably let me know, but it's like, we need the devs on that side of this. So I guess I have the luxury there. But I don't know. We were talking before we were recording about the, not even the ups and downs of business, but yeah, like you said, the seasons. And I feel like the last, really at least month, has been a lot of planning, a lot of big picture work. And it was important to do, but, and I also think I was getting a little bit burnt out about being as in the weeds every single day. And this was part escape, but partly like very necessary to figure out like, all right, where are we actually going? And this week is when I really started to feel as though I've got things figured out enough. And to keep going on this would just be, it would be a pure escape. Like it wouldn't be adding value anymore. And so I think I've recharged the batteries, partly because we have a clear plan for where to go from here, and partly just from not banging my head against the wall, trying to write all these emails, trying to do things that really wear me out. And now for me, it's sort of time to get back to the in the weeds work and just start executing on this. And for us, the fortunate part in the sporting world is that the summer is the slow season. That's when basketball's still going, but I mean, it just ended last night at the time of this recording, but people don't play as much daily fantasy sports during the playoffs. There aren't as many games to pick from. It's just like not as interesting of a product for people then. Football's not going on. You have the things like MMA and golf and other stuff, but those are more niche sports. And so it's just baseball, and we have a very good baseball product. We're always working to improve it, but just isn't as demanding of a time. And so it's nice to have that line up with our summer where I have the bandwidth to think bigger picture. But at the same time, we're approaching the end of July. Pretty soon, football's going to be starting up. Then basketball's going to start up again. Then hockey's going to start back up again. And the fall and winter is when it gets nuts. And so I think, yeah, I'm able to shift into that, get shit done kind of a season, at least the starting of that now. But I feel ready for it, which is nice, because I think if I would have been at the mental space I was a month ago, right now, it would have been tough to get back into things. How do you view the peaks and valleys, at least as far as focus and everything else go in your business?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a couple of them, and maybe they coincide. I haven't really thought about it, I guess. But like one is the kind of strategy planning versus the getting stuff done and like being an executor on the plan. And the other is just like your energy and the amount of really good time that you can spend in the business. And maybe they're related in that like we want to just stop doing the high intensity like execution work. And so we remove ourselves from that and do more high level thinking, which is just different. You know, it's not easier or harder. But yeah, I think we were, you know, going through like the fundraising stuff was a lot of both, I guess. And even like the migration and the acquisition of the Podient folks, like that was really intense. And so we have had a pretty kind of low energy time in the last couple of weeks, kind of because we just needed it. Me reflecting that on the team, I think. To where now, like, I am feeling good again. You know, batteries are recharged. The focus is there and the plan is there. And so, yeah, I think kind of like you're saying, like, took the time to step away, regain some focus and some energy, planned what we need for the next, you know, 6, 12, 18 months. And now, like, feel really good about saying, okay, I'm kind of putting the blinders back on and just focusing on this stuff, because I've taken the time to step back, recharge my batteries, like personally, to be able to work hard, and also like have taken the time to think about what I should be doing and where the company should be going, to where I don't need to think about that anymore for the next, you know, some kind of short period of time, and we can go do this stuff. And yeah, it's not like, yeah, I think, and we were talking about earlier, I think in a way you feel bad because you feel like you're not doing as productive things, but really it is just more focused work on executing the plan that you just made. As an aside, and I don't know if it's related or not, I think there is this like guilt that we give ourselves when we are in kind of execution mode versus like CEO mode. And I think that's really wrong. Like, I think that we should be okay with. Okay.
I'm the opposite. Like, I feel guilt when I'm in the CEO mode, spending a bunch of time thinking through scenarios, trying to plan out the vision, because it's softer things. It's not rational at all. But to me, it's still, I haven't really internalized that that is where I'm adding the most value. Even though when I think about it, like, yes, that's true. It's like, if we have a bad strategy and a bad plan, like that can sink the business, and a great one can make the business. And so putting the effort into make it as strong as possible and as achievable as possible pays more than the worth in the effort. But at the time when I'm just kind of going through it, I don't feel like I'm being productive. I'm just like, like what did I even do today? I just wrote a bunch and thought a bunch and had a few conversations and this and that. It's like, to me, that's the stuff I feel guilty about. Whereas I'm just like, I really need to, I should be writing some emails. I should be doing the other stuff. So that's really like, I haven't graduated, I guess, mentally to the spot where it's flipped for me yet.
I have Rob Walling in my brain. Like anytime I'm like in a support ticket, looking at the database, look, you know, he would just be like, is this really the best use of your time? And sometimes it is. And sometimes like, it doesn't matter because it's what I want to do. Yeah. I don't know.
A lot of it for me is just thinking about, I'm like, oh, what do people think I'm doing all day? Because it's hard when I'm not shipping things to sort of prove my worth to them. And I don't think it's an actual, I think it's a lot of it's imposter syndrome. I don't think it's an actual concern amongst the team at all. But to me, when I feel like I can't point to anything, like, hey, look at all the things I did. That's where it gets, that's where I struggle with it. But I'll get there. And I think it's where we're moving towards that direction. And I, like I said, I think the team realizes, especially as we've been doing more, we've been doing the weekly all hands to update people on the direction of the company, because things have changed and we do have a different vision than we might have 6 months ago. And so people are aware of the thought that goes into that and answering questions around that and all of that. But it's still just me just realizing that, yeah, that is really what I should be doing. Because it's one thing, again, to logically understand that, but to emotionally accept that, I think is different.
Something that we've experienced recently, and this is a tangent that we hadn't planned on really, but I think it might be applicable, is we kind of got back on the EOS bandwagon as of the first this quarter, which was just a couple weeks ago. And it has been really interesting to be implementing it at the team size that we are now. I think, like, I'd always thought before, like, if you're a team of like 5, EOS just doesn't make sense. But we're 14, about to be 17 in a couple months, once the offers that we have out, you know, those people are on board, to where like every real division of a company is represented by a person or people. What I did in our first meeting of this quarter was laid out the rocks, quarterly goals for essentially each division. So we have 5 or 6 of them, and I think it's more than you should have, but we're like we're working our way towards it. And it was really interesting. And this is talking about like what we're talking about is like vision versus work, you know, like strategy versus like implementation. Is like, I took the time to get like the strategy, relayed that to the team, and then no shit, all of them came to me and said, how are we going to do this? I understand what you're saying. Like, you want to close this much new business of private podcasting. How are we going to do that? And it was cool because I got to say, that's exactly the point, right? Like, the point is not you, Sam, are going to close this business, but like, how do we come up with a plan? What kind of resources, people or paid acquisition or documentation or whatever do we need to be able to, and this is where it comes full circle, go do the work. The cool thing about it is, and I don't think we're there, but what we're getting there is the promise of all of this is ownership of those people over their thing. And then I'm here to support them in achieving those goals. It's not me achieving those goals. It's like Kim and Matt are in charge of, like, we have a rock for a churn number. Monthly net churn is below this number. What do you need to make that happen? You know? And then every Monday meeting is, how are we doing towards this goal? the discussion goes from there. But like, I was only able to set those because I had the time to really go back and think about things. And now, kind of like we're talking about before, like the world is small to us all, right? The world for me is these five things that we want to get done. This, and then from there, it's like kind of complex as you dive down and kind of break all of those goals down into smaller goals and milestones and stuff like that. It's not like we have all of this shit to worry about, right? I kind of give myself and the team the grace to say that thing is just not a thing anymore. This is what we're going to focus on.
How far down do the rocks cascade? Like, does every person on the team have their own rock?
Yeah, I mean, this is where like you talk to someone who really, really, really does this. And yeah, everybody has their rocks. And so like you could say, okay, the company has rocks and then each group, so say sales would have their rocks. And those are really like milestones that they need to achieve the bigger rock. And then each person within the sales team would have their rocks to achieve the rocks for the team. We're about halfway there at this point.
Yeah, because I could see it. I mean, it's the same with OKRs. It's a similar idea if people aren't familiar with EOS. I mean, the big book on it, Distraction by Gino Wickman. And yeah, in my head, I struggle a bit with the idea of it. I could see having, as we have department heads, as those roles come in, I could see each department having rocks. I think with developers, it gets tough to give them rocks, where I do think Agile or Scrum or whatever like works well of you know what you're working towards and the manager is responsible for getting there. But I just feel like it'd be weird to have a quarter-long rock for an individual developer. But again, I haven't tried to implement this. But I see the value of it, and it's something that I've been thinking about, because at the end of the day, it's a lot of what we're doing has been solved. Like, there's zero value in us trying to reinvent how to manage a team at our scale. Whether it's EOS, what I mean is a book. I mean, you've got for development, you have ShapeUp. There's a book, The Great CEO Within, which is like a very self-helpy title, but a super practical book. And there's all these different things of how to run a company, how to run a department. And it just makes sense to follow one of them. But I still resist it. Like, I still haven't like fully gone there, because it's just like with working out, where there's all these plans, but everyone's like, oh, well, I'm different. I'm going to do it this way or tweak it that way. And it's just like, just fucking follow one of them. And that's going to
you'll get the 80%, right? Maybe exactly. You're different, but like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I still haven't fully jumped in. And I think over the next year, part of it is frankly, like, I'm still too in the weeds and by necessity at our team size. Like, I have to do a lot of things. And so I haven't been able to quote unquote, like, work on the business as much, but that's slowly changing as we've talked about. But yeah, I think that's the direction we're trying to go. And I just have to get over that, but we're different mindset and just work on implementing, even if I don't do it fully, just work on a bit more rigor there. And I mean, it's something we were talking with Ben, who is our backend consultant. Like, we're working on getting him a more formalized role in the company, whether that's a similar role he has now, where it's a part-time consultative thing, but with more management oversight, or a full-time thing. We're kind of figuring out all the details there. But a lot of it is just realizing if we don't have the expertise to effectively manage the engineering team. Like, we've made a lot of progress, but there's a lot more we know we can do. And so what was it for you that pushed you to say, all right, let's get back into EOS? Was it purely a logical exercise of saying we have more people now, we should do this? Or were you feeling the pain somewhere?
Both. Yeah, for sure, both. I, for a long time, have, and it was really, it culminated a few weeks ago with just like a bunch of sales calls and managing the Podient stuff and all of this. And it's just like, I'm working till 9 o'clock every night, and this is just not possible. So like, I have to do things to make the business more self-sustaining, but also like more successful, right? Like, I am just a person, right? But like, we are much, and your team is much more than just you. And so like, getting everybody operating as at like high level as you can is like a huge point of leverage, I think. On the point of rocks for developers, so we have two, and I'll share what they are. We have a product and a development rock for this quarter. And the developer rocks have always been kind of process driven, like how
we sort of meta. You're not saying build these things. You're saying, well, let's work on how we work.
Yeah. And our rock for this quarter is to release a feature every week. And so you think about it, like that's an all encompassing kind of thing, right? And the way I explain this is like, if we do this, a bunch of other shit will be right, you know? And it gives Brian, our engineering manager, the grace to say, okay, I know I have to build these other steps along the way to reach this big rock. And so that's kind of what we're doing. And on the product side, it is, we're going to update the design of the marketing site and the web app. And that's the product goal for this quarter. So by the end of September, all of that shit will be live. And again, so a lot of stuff needs to happen in order for that to work. But that's like the most important product thing that we'll build this quarter. And it's big. And I think like whether you have a product goal or not, I don't know if that's important. But like we kind of have a person who can own that. And so wanted to give them something to own. Because I do think product and development or engineering are pretty different. Like they're really related, but there's a lot that goes into product that's more than engineering, I think.
So when we get into the nuts and bolts of EOS, one of the big things that they talk about is having an integrator and a visionary. And I do think you have to be a certain scale to think about having that be a separate role. And for most of us, and I'm guessing a lot of listeners, if you're the CEO, you're both of those things in the early days. But you're getting to the spot where it's possible to start thinking about that. I think especially when you get to 20 plus, it's possible. I think most 20 plus companies, most of the companies in our world that have say 20 to 40 employees, I don't think actually have distinct visionary versus integrator roles, but above that, it's almost a necessity. But it's one that for me personally, like that is very appealing to me.
Are you the visionary or the integrator, you think?
Ideally, I think I'd be the visionary. I am very detail-oriented and appreciate process, but I do not get enjoyment from implementing it, managing it, all of that. And I mean, I think that's also why like we move in the direction towards process. We haven't fully jumped into anything. It's just like, I'm not going to fight that battle right now. It's not the top of my priority, even if I know there's value there. And so I think, where I get the most energy is in the strategic planning, the visionary responsibilities, but we're very far off, in my opinion, from getting to that as someone who is the integrator. But I think you're getting closer to that. So have you thought about that? Like, is that a role you're thinking about hiring for at some point, or just kind of waiting for down the road for that?
For us, hiring is happening in seasons, and I'm probably lying to myself, but like we made an offer to two account executives. They were both accepted. They're starting the middle of August. Amazed, like super, super, super excited about it. And then I don't want to do that again for a while, right? Because like we don't need to, like with the funding we got, that's the kind of burn rate that I'm comfortable with. And like all of that is kind of where I want it to be. I'm sure something else will happen and we'll want to hire for something else. But at this point, like engineering's good, product and design is good, sales, marketing, support, like we're good. We should be able to stay where we are and kind of grow. If we have to replace somebody, then we'll do that. But I don't see us expanding from here for a while, unless revenues really grow to where we can, because like I'll just keep reinvesting in the business as much as I can. And this is, I have a point with this. but I mean, you get to a point, I think, where like if we get profitable again, like with the kind of revenue that I think we could be generating in a year, that like a COO, which would be like the integrator, because I'm definitely not, that manages a lot of that hiring and onboarding and people stuff and manages the goals and the rocks and how people are working towards those and reporting and all that, like that would be a really cool person. And then I think, like that imposter syndrome was like, what do I do then? You know, like, what do I do? The thing I would love to do is just like hiring, because that's really fun and really valuable, I'm finding, right? Is like the really, really, really great people are super valuable.
Well, and also I'm assuming you lump in recruiting with that as well.
For me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it might be that like I do, you know, what is it like the Fred Wilson thing is like the CEO has three jobs, like define the vision, keep money in the bank, and hire the best people. That would be pretty sweet. Like, we could get there kind of soon. But that's also like going back to like why we started doing rocks again. It's like, if you're not intentional about getting some of this stuff in place, then like the company just starts growing like it wants to and not like you want it to. And you end up with this thing that's not what you had in mind, you know, a year and a half ago. And so I guess that's part of it. The other part is like, and this definitely like applies on the sales side, which is why we hired two salespeople, is this like positive peer pressure. And like, we're definitely seeing it, that like people are reporting on their rocks and they're talking about their rocks and it's getting everyone else talking about them and kind of into the game and stuff. So like from that perspective, it's really cool to see everybody participating in this thing and kind of rallying around it.
I mean, talking with you more and just hearing you talk about it and thinking as you're talking all of that, it's for me, it does seem something that we need to get more deliberate about. And yeah, this is just where I feel that guilt, where I'm just, okay, like there are things I need to do, and working on the business will get pushed down because I feel like I've been working on the business for a bit. And now I need to focus on getting back to profitability, on figuring out all of that and just like executing on it. And I think it's for us, yeah, I could see it's just tough because like with the seasonality of our business, it's hard to plan. We surprisingly had a growing month in July, which is rare when there wasn't a new sport that started and basketball was winding down. So I think that speaks to a lot of what we've been working on. And we're super optimistic going into football season. But I also don't want to plan too much when we're burning right now, but at a sustainable rate, at least as far as the cash in the bank goes and our willingness to fund it. But I don't want to plan too much around projected growth when it could be all over the place come football season. But I think for me right now, it's I've taken a step back to figure out what we need to do in the short term. And for us, it's really focused on, again, formalizing that relationship with Ben a bit more, and then keeping the team around where we are right now, maybe a couple of contractors for one-off projects, that sort of thing, but not dramatically expanding the team, and then really just getting to profitability. And I think when the team is stabilized and there aren't a bunch of new initiatives kicking off, we're not trying to figure all that stuff out, I'm optimistic that'll be like fall as we near the end of the year. I think that'll be a good time for us to start thinking more about how we're working and getting a little bit more deliberate about that. Because at the end of the day, yes, having more structure keeps things saner, but there's always growing pains. And I don't want to add to those pains when like shit's going to be crazy anyways when football starts up. And then a month later, basketball starts up. It's like that time of year is always busy. And sure, we won't be as efficient as we could if we had EOS in place long before, but like we're not going to get it up and running now for right. that. And it's just right. going
to
add to
so it. The so next kind of slower time for y'all is the time to do it, probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And it's hard for me where I'm an impatient person and I want to do all these things. And I think that's been the challenge, is just accepting the seasons of the business, of going, okay, like these are the times to take a step back, really work on the business. And these are the times to go heads down, grind it out, get us a spot where we can take that breath and can take advantage of that. Because if things are on fire and it's summer, just because it's not busy with sports doesn't mean I'll have the ability to take a step back. So it's just making sure that these heads down periods pay off. And I think that's kind of the where we're at, where it's like there definitely is a spot in a business where you have a leadership team under you, you have that integrator, or you at least have a chief of staff or something you can help get there. And then it's not as though there aren't ups and downs or peaks and valleys in the business and the way your energy levels and all that, but things are able to keep moving independently of you. And we're not quite there yet. But I mean, if I look back over a year, we've come a long way. So it's just tough for me to just sit back and be like, all right, like we'll get there. That's just like not right. who I
it's
am
that
at
patience.
All.
Yeah. 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 I think it's a topic for another episode, but I think that the kind of dream team set up in my mind, like if I ever do this again, would be and I hate to say this, and this is like imposter syndrome, like a kind of vision person that probably has like sales and marketing background, a technical person that can lead the actual development, and then like a real product focused person who can craft what that product is. And the product person can take a lot of different forms, I think, but yeah. Yeah, I think that, and that's just kind of my experience with the team we have and the team we've had and the things I've done that haven't worked, you know, and looking at companies that are really kicking ass. Like, I think there are very few solo founders that are really just doing great. So,
yeah, I mean, this is definitely a topic for another episode, but I agree. I mean, I think you either have to be well funded so that you can bring on those people early, or just kind of an animal that doesn't mind those 80-hour plus weeks of holding everything together yourself. But at this point, like, I don't want that.
And being able to do all those things. Like, I can't do two of those things.
I think that's true. I think you've got to find, even if not a co-founder, you need to find people who can own those responsibilities. And I think it's very rare that one person can do all of that. But I mean, I've thought about it too. Like, I'm very happy with where things are at right now with Sabersome in the future, because before I was unsure of the potential of it. And I think now that we're looking more at the sports betting side of things, this is what I'm going to be doing full time for the foreseeable future. But before, when I was thinking about other opportunities, like potentially buying something else to do at the same time, I mean, it was just like, I would never buy another company, start a company, whatever, without either a shit ton of money to bring in those right people from day one, or just those people as co-founders on day one. Because, like, it's not, in my opinion, it's not sustainable. It's not what I'm looking for. It's not where, like, no one really can do all of those things super well. There's always going to be people who can help, and it's just not sustainable. So, yeah, topic for another day of how to balance all of those things, how we would structure it if we could start over, if we were starting a new company, whatever. But I think, yeah, for now, my big thing is, yeah, just trying to find some peace with the seasons of the business, and knowing that we'll get there. Just gotta keep moving, gotta stay focused. But yeah, it was good venting a little bit, chatting through all this with you, Craig. As always, I appreciate everyone tuning in and listening. And like we always say, we always love hearing feedback, always love getting questions, whatever it may be. So if anyone has anything to share, anything to ask, you can always reach out at podcast@seekingscale.com. But thanks, Craig. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.